Well, good morning, and welcome to all of our guests. I think I speak for the team, and I think that in all of our moving around, I think my soul is somewhere over in Newfoundland trying to find a landing place this morning. I want to ask our teams that are going to be sharing testimony to come on up here while I am introducing this. As we had Dan read the text this morning, which is a very familiar text to the Great Commission, you will notice that it speaks of missions that you start where you are, and then you move out from there to the uttermost parts of the earth. And one of the things that is true is that oftentimes Southern Baptists were a denomination who were founded, Brain's going to catch up here in a minute. We'll get it out in a minute. Southern Baptists were founded. Hey, that's easier. Southern Baptists were founded as a denomination with their eyes looking across the way. In 1845, when Southern Baptists were formed, there were other issues to be sure, but the primary issue that led to the formation of the Southern Baptist Convention was the issue of missions and how to get the most missionaries on the field around the world. And so that's a wonderful thing. But sometimes it has led to a bit of myopia on our part, in which we see missions as something we do over there rather than something we do right here. And so this morning, the theme of this testimony time is the FBC family on mission with God at home and abroad. And we have a group of folks who dedicatedly work week in and week out in the missions area of our church, teaching and explaining the gospel to children and families, both in Awana and in RAs and GAs. And so this word, translated witness, comes from a word where we get our English word martyr. And it really has the idea of being a witness to Christ with all that you are. And so it came through usage to mean those who would witness for Christ even with their death. Now, there were times in Ireland that I thought Daniel was pushing the envelope as he was playing soccer and giving up his body for the Lord. But he came back safely. And so we're grateful to God for that. This morning, I want to bring our RAs and GAs and our WANA team to remind you that missions is what we're doing here as well as what we did in Ireland. So with that, I'm going to invite Bob Andes. Is he right behind me? There he is. To share a little bit about what our RAs is doing. Then we'll have our GAs and our WANA's leader sharing a little bit about the mission, being on mission with God. So Bob.
As the pastor said, I'm Bob Andes. I'm the director of the Royal Ambassador Program. Now, Royal Ambassadors is the Southern Baptist Boys Mission Education Program. So my function or my role is to teach boys about the history of missions, who Lottie Moon really was, who Bill Wallace was, things like that, who are the current missionaries, where they serve, what they're doing, what their needs are, how we can serve them. And most importantly, how they can be missionaries. How they can be missionaries to the boys and girls in their schools and in their clubs and their teams, and they can tell people about Jesus wherever they are. Now, up until the last 3 years, we've had the boys and girls together, and since I'm kind of challenged at time, I just called them ragas. It was easier to work that way. But this year, because we had such an influx of boys and girls, and we appreciate, I know Miss Jenny and I do, appreciate you making your children available to us, and you seeing it, they get on the bus and they get here, and we had such a large influx of children that we had to split the program into boys and girls. So boys became RAs, Miss Jenny and her group of ladies took over the GA program, and boys got to do boys thing, and girls got to do whatever girls do. So you know, we appreciate the opportunity to work with the children. We appreciate the opportunity to get the boys and girls interested in missions. In other words, to have them go out, pretend out of the church, and to tell other people about Jesus. We do kind of, you know, small things. We take part in walks. We support the mission offerings, and we do what we can. But it's really just what we're doing is working with the mindset. Thank you.
Hi, if I've not had the privilege of meeting you, I am Jenny Howe, and as Mr. Bob said, I am doing the GAs this year. I have a lot of help. Many of you have even been involved in helping us through your money or through your time. I have 13 ladies that work once a month with us, so it's huge right now. But that's a God thing. We've done the crop walk. We've done things for Lottie Moon and Annie Armstrong. We've done things for the ladies' tea, also for Senior Adult Day. So there's many areas where we're working, and we would love if you would just give us more ideas, because this is only year one, and we can't wait for year two. I came to this church as a GA on the van, and God has just shown me what it means to be on mission for Him. When you have a first grader that comes up to you and says, Miss Jenny, I shared Jesus in school today. That's what it's about.
Good morning. I'm Lisa Clifton, and Jill Cobb and I get to direct the Sparkies. That's the Awana Club for kindergarten, first, and second. We've had lots of them, really been blessed this year. One night we had 37 of them in the room with us. Lots of energy. It's a great age. We love working with them because at this age, they absorb so much so quickly. When I ask them what they like most about Sparks, most of them will say game time, but a lot of them will say it's handbook time, the time when they memorize the Bible verses and learn about God's word. So we love that. They're eager to share their prayer requests with us and pray. Some of their prayer requests break my heart because it shows me what's going on in their lives and some of the real struggles their families are going through. Other times they challenge our faith. One of our little first grade boys recently asked me if we could please pray for all the blind people to see. We pledge allegiance to the Awana flag every week, and that pledge says that the goal of Awana is to reach boys and girls with the gospel of Christ and train them to serve Him. And that's what we're there doing. We're there to reach them and to train them so that they can serve as they grow older. Thank you.
Now, we highlight those two areas really in our Wednesday night and Sunday night program because sometimes people ask me, what are you doing on Wednesday night? Oh, if only you knew what we were doing on Wednesday night. Or I get this question, why don't we have worship service on Sunday night? I say, we do. You just need to go to our Awana program and you will see all kinds of little worshipers running around as our adults work with them and teach them about the things of God. And so there's always room for one more hand on the plow. So if you're looking for a place where you can kind of connect and be on mission with God, then certainly, especially come this fall as we come back into our Wednesday night and Sunday night program and being on mission with God, you're more than welcome to talk to Bob or Jenny or Kathy and my brain is not here yet. And Jeff, thank you. About working in Awana, you will be blessed. Now it's my privilege to introduce to you a group that I was with for the last few days. I should say last 2 weeks. This is a group that God really put together by His grace and for His glory. And so we're going to start with kind of just the transition, and you'll understand in a minute. The first testimony you're going to hear is from Petey. This is what the little kids started calling Peter as he worked with them. So, Peter, if you'll come up and start sharing.
Good morning. So, our job was presenting the gospel in a simple way. This was through playing soccer and getting to know simple things about each other. The kids were curious about God eventually. After we talked to them a bit, a significant question was posed to me twice in one day. It was, how can God be a person and be God at the same time? hence they're talking about Jesus. And this led to, you know, the conversation, or really just a few words about how he's the Son of God and he came to earth to save us from our sins. So I'll be reading from Mark 16:14 to 20, which is the Great Commission. Afterward, he appeared to 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for the unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up serpents with their hands, and they will drink any deadly poison, and it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. So I'll hand it over to Kevin now.
You're very welcome, as they would say in Northern Ireland. So we're glad that you're here. And actually, Victoria is down in the children's area, taking care of that. And so she put together a slideshow for you as well. So we're going to play that, and then I'll come right back up. So we'll do that right now. Well, first of all, thank you so much for sending us out. We saw God working in so many different ways. We're not going to have enough time to explain all of it and all the different incredible answers to prayer that we witnessed, but God was so faithful. If that's the one term we could use, it would really, you know, be the entire trip right there. God's faithfulness, not only to us, but to the weather that we had. You saw in those pictures, it did not look like Ireland because it didn't rain that often. We had beautiful skies, and we are out there teaching those Bible studies right on the side of the hill there, overlooking those mountains and everything. It was just gorgeous, and it gave us opportunities over and over again for more students to come out, more times to continue to make relationships. So Victoria and I both taught the Bible study portion of the Vacation Bible School that we did, and so we had opportunities to tell them about Christ. And we started off with the story of Zacchaeus and talking about how Jesus knows your heart. He knows who you are. And all of a sudden we realized they don't know who Jesus is. Even though there's this separation of the Catholics versus the Protestants, it's a political thing. It's not a religious thing at this point. And so even though they might call themselves Protestant, they don't know the gospel. They don't know Christ. And so we had to start from the ground up and kind of revamp everything as we continue to teach these Bible studies. And it was amazing that even though it was chaotic at points and we had to keep drawing kids back in and bribing them with candy to sit still, it was amazing that at the end of the week, they were able to respond with the gospel. They knew what it was about, and they understood that Jesus loved them and that he had died because of our sin and was ready to make them make them his children. And so an incredible opportunity there. Richie and Jen are the folks that run Riot Ministries in Dundrum, and they were such an inspiration to us. They run that out of completely on faith. So they don't ask for money. They don't have a paycheck that comes in every month. They are just completely reliant on God. And so every month, God provides for them. And it was an incredible opportunity to not only witness that, but to be able to encourage them in the ministry that they have there. And one of the ways that we were told we needed to work this out was not to just come in there and just, all right, every single conversation we have to give the gospel. But he said we have to start with building these relationships and be with the students, be with them, and enjoy hanging out with them, playing soccer, and getting to know them in that way. And then it opens the door for later when we were sharing testimonies that they would then spark different spiritual conversations. And it was just an incredible opportunity there, and helped to kind of alleviate the stress of, oh my gosh, I have to do, you know, these specific things. No, we're going to hang out and get to know these kids. And through that, God opened up major opportunities for the gospel to go forth. And so we were consistently giving our testimonies every night, and Susan will share a little bit more about this in a little bit, but through those times and through us being with them and the prayer that you guys were lifting up and that we were praying as well, God was using that time in wonderful ways, drawing people to himself. My heart was encouraged in incredible ways as I listened to these testimonies and as we worshiped God together. And so I know without a doubt that God was working in the lives of these students. And so we are definitely, our hearts are knitted together, I guess you would say. And so we're going to continue to pray for them and continue to seek out those relationships to continue to point them to Christ. And so thank you so much for sending us out and praying for us as we were gone.
As Kevin mentioned, Ireland is usually quite rainy, but while we were there, it was sunshine every day. In fact, the missionary, Richie, saw me wearing sunglasses on my head, and he said, "I like your enthusiasm." And the reason it was sunny, I would say, is because of your prayers. And God heard those prayers, and he answered. And it was amazing to see God working. And so even in the last couple of days after the mission trip, we stayed on to just see some of the sites. The last full day where we were there, we were headed toward a place called the Cliffs of Moher, and the bus driver called ahead to find out what the weather was like. And he said, they said that it was really foggy. But as we approached, the fog lifted. And we were there for a couple of hours, and we got to see everything and do everything. And then as we left, the fog came back. And so God was faithful to answer your prayers. So thank you very much. Continue to pray for, you know, those things that are going on in your life and trust that God will take care of them. Not only that, but I got to know Pastor Ron a little bit better on this trip as well. He and the rest of us, we spent, you know, pretty close quarters for 2 weeks. So you find out what goes on in the mind of a very brilliant man. And he started to sing a song, and he sang the same line very often. And it goes like this: "Oh, the monkeys have no tails in San Poango." Yeah, I have no idea what that had to do with Ireland, but it happened, and that's a memory I'm not going to soon forget, I can tell you that. Anyways, as you may know, Gaelic is the Irish language, but it's not just a language. We found out that it's also a sport. And it's something of a mix between soccer and rugby. But what makes Gaelic as a sport so interesting is that only Catholics are allowed to play it. And that's serious. I'm serious. Richie told us a story about Gaelic. 20 years ago, he was a Protestant, and some Catholic friends invited him to play Gaelic. So we started playing, and then there was a very staunch Catholic man steeped in tradition. He came up to Richie and he said, "You need to stop playing Gaelic." So we listened to what he had to say, and then Richie continued to play Gaelic. So he comes back to him again, the same guy, and he tells Richie, and he shows him a gun, and he says, "If you don't stop playing Gaelic, I will shoot your kneecaps out." And so he quit. Richie can walk to this day. But this is how strongly Catholics and Protestants hold on to their ways over there. We don't have that kind of animosity in the U.S. We have our differences, but it's not violent like it is over there. There are Protestant-only schools. There are Catholic-only schools. Religious segregation runs very deep within their culture. But God used Richie in that. He started a youth program called Riot, which is short for Revival in Our Town. And Protestants come to it, but also the Catholics who used to play Gaelic with Richie send their kids to Riot. And they say, listen to Richie, do what he tells you. And so it's an opportunity for Protestants and Catholics to come together and hear the message of the gospel because of the way that God has been using Richie. Not only that, but also the mission team got to visit a place called Tollymoor National Forest. And they also call it Narnia. It's the place where C.S. Lewis played as a boy, and it is what sparked his imagination as he dreamed up the scenes in writing the Chronicles of Narnia. And when we were there, we saw many a tall, winding tree that split from its base into five trunks. And we walked a little further, and we crossed beautiful streams and bridges and stepping stones that looked like a fairy tale. And there were fields of flowers and rustic walkways built straight into the mountainside. It was a very lush environment, a very beautiful place. And finally, we came to a giant rock, and on it were written these words: stop, look around, and praise the name of him who made it all. And so we stood there at that rock, and we sang How Great Thou Art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art.
Well, I'm sure you all know by now what a blessing it was that we had sunshine the entire time we were there. We had Skyped with Richie, and Susan had lots of correspondence with him, but we really had never met him. Well, let me tell you something. I learned the definition of a servant's heart. When someone gets out of bed at 4:30 in the morning and drives about an hour and a half to the airport to pick up 15 blurry-eyed people and welcomes them and gets everybody moving, that is a servant's heart. And not only that, we were probably traveling maybe about an hour. He graciously stopped and allowed us just to have caffeine and a little roll to refresh ourselves. So we knew definitely that's a servant's heart. Well, let me tell you a little bit about Richie. He is a person that not only sees a need but responds to it. Every morning he would come over to the house where we were staying for breakfast, and he would see if anybody needed anything and kind of fill us in on what we were going to do that day. And he was so good about taking us to see different things. And when the Sunday we got there, when we got back to the house, we cleaned up a little bit, went back to church, and then we passed out flyers. And Richie encouraged us, talk to the people you see, talk to the kids. They know that you're coming. They want to hear from you. And you could just see his servant's heart. And then in the afternoon when we did the VBS program, usually started around 3, Richie was there for the entire thing. He was there at 7 o'clock in the evening when the clubhouse opened for the kids. And now this was the first part of that time our team would participate in sports, as Daniel can attest to, and also Peter. And then some of us would actually be inside in the clubhouse just talking to the kids that were there, playing cards. Now, I have to tell you, your pastor is a diehard Uno player, so don't ever challenge him. But later on, the kids would come inside, and we would, Richie would talk to them. We would hear testimonies and do singing. And I have to tell you, we were so blessed by the Rekindle team that was with us, by their music. And around 10 o'clock after the clubhouse closed, we would go back down to the big house, and Richie would sit around and we would just talk. And he would go home to his wife, Jen, and three children. He has two little girls, 4 and 3, and a baby 6 months old. And by the way, Jen came over and helped prepare lunch and dinner for us every day. So you talk about someone that is totally involved. I'll tell you, Richie is totally involved in these children's lives. You can tell by the way they respond to him. And like, we went to a church and where they were having an event for the youth, and all the kids knew him. So that just, you know, when you say servant's heart, it's putting others first, and he exemplified that. Now, I have to tell you, when we left the airport to go over to Ireland, we were a group of FBC and a group from Cedarville, the Rekindle team, but there was such a sense of unity. Everyone bonded, and everyone participated in everything that was going on. The people, all of us, didn't just stand around. We wanted to be part of what people were doing. We wanted them to know that we were interested in them. And when we started our VBS, I tell you, Daniel has got it going on when it comes to that music. I mean, he had those moves down pat. And he had not only the kids, but all of us doing all the moves. And then Victoria and Kevin did a wonderful job with the Bible story. We heard the children talking about what they had heard. We heard the conversation. And I had the privilege of working with Maddie doing crafts. She's not here, but I know a lot of you know her. She is a wonderful young person, and we just had a great time. But once again, that spirit of unity, you can have, I think the high attendance was Wednesday, and when you get about 19 or 20 kids and you're trying to do a craft, and you've got a couple of them that are one-on-one, a couple of them that are doing this and that, then all the hands you can get are hands that are blessed. And so we were just, I really felt it was a team that went to Ireland and a team that came back. And we had the privilege of talk to Jen, and it's really kind of expensive to get craft supplies and that type thing there. So we decided just to leave some of that surplus stuff for them. And also we managed to give Virgie a couple of office goodies too. But I want you all to know that your prayers were felt, and we were blessed by it. Thank you.
I'm Susan Plemons, and I was fortunate to be the team leader for this team. And when you study experiencing God, you hear the phrase to find out where God is working and to join him there. And I think that's a big part of why we experience such a successful mission trip, is because Richie grew up there, and he has such a great reputation. On Sunday afternoon, we would go out. He sent us out to distribute flyers to announce the VBS and the Youth Center activities for the week. On previous mission trips, when you go to try to hand someone a flyer, they don't want to take it. But the minute they heard that you were from Richie, his ministry in Riot, they were ready. And Ronnie and I were on a team with Catherine, and the ice cream truck showed up at the very first apartment area where we were at. That was divine providence. And then we noticed it was going on our route. So we actually, when we first met the ice cream truck, we told him what we were doing, because we had to buy ice cream, of course. And he took flyers. He wanted the flyers. Can you imagine that here in the United States? The ice cream truck guy took the flyers, and then we were able to also follow him and then talk to the families as they came up to the ice cream truck. So we experienced God. God was already working there. He'd been working there, and we just came and were a part of that ministry. And when I started this back in October of 2014, it was going to be two separate teams and two separate weeks. But then in January, God changed it, and he obviously knows what he's doing, because Both teams working together brought such strength. We had the young girls with their enthusiasm and their music, but we also had our church team that had spiritual depth and maturity and a lot more football players. And that really opened up so many more relational opportunities with the high school students. And also I found out that what Richie did with allowing us to share our testimonies, he doesn't do with every team. And so that speaks of the prayer support here and the readiness of the teams that we were able to share our testimonies at night. And he said when we were getting ready to leave, he has lots of teams that come back every year, and he really wants more teams to come from our church. He wants more young adults to come and stay there. He has an internship ministry of 3 to 6 to 9 months where you can go and work with him. But he really, he said it was like this was a team that had been here before. And that, once again, speaks to the church's prayer support and the preparation. But it reminds me of the saying, attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. We saw so many great things that he did. And it also reminds me of from our Sunday school lesson today, Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord determines his steps. And so all the flexibility, all of our planning, we were still flexible to do whatever Richie needed us to do. And one of the things that we saw was his providence in providing all the money, and even Victoria's Way was fully funded, and that was such a great answer to prayer for her. We could have had all kinds of illnesses or broken ankles, and I traveled with a first aid kit, which we hardly ever used. There was even a morning when Daniel was crawling to get up across his room because they played a lot of soccer every night. But God provided everything, and getting both teams on all the planes, everything was wonderful. And then I learned that simple conversations can change lives. The very first night, it's a little awkward because we're just meeting everyone, and Ronnie and I were sitting, and it was actually three young girls came and said, "What's your story?" My testimony is the wheat and the tares. I grew up in church, and I wasn't a believer, but I had walked the aisle as a young girl, not really knowing what I was doing, but I looked the same. On the inside, I was not a believer. I didn't accept Christ till I was 21. She was very touched by that testimony. And I found out from Richie later that it's really harder to share the gospel with the Protestant children because they grow up in church and they think they're believers. And so I think just being able to share that testimony really touched some lives there. And I also was able to share it to all the girls on another night. But then Thursday night, Rekindle was getting ready to lead worship. I moved to the back to get out of the way so the youth could come to the front. And I sat down next to a lady that was my age. Her name is Teresa. And there were very few adults that would ever show up except to pick up children. So I sat down next to her and I said, "How are you doing?" and learned her name. And then she said, "I'm doing great ever since I heard Catherine's testimony." And Catherine has shared her testimony Monday night. And I said, "Really?" And I said, "Are you a Christian?" And she said, "No." And I said, "Would you like to be?" And she said, "Yes." And that simple conversation led to grabbing the pastor and going outside, and he shared the gospel with her again. She prayed the sinner's prayer. And she came Sunday night to see us before we left, and she looked so different. I couldn't get over it. I said, "How are you doing? You look great." She said, "The grass is greener, the birds sing prettier, I am great." Things were different, and you could really tell it. So the power of a simple conversation and those relationships. And I hope we have more that get to go on mission opportunities, because it's really life-changing, not only for those where we shared the gospel and they accepted Christ or to encourage the missionary, but for the team as well. Thank you.
The reason why they're going down is because I haven't preached for 2 weeks and I kissed the Blarney Stone, so you are in trouble. I told my mother, I said, "I kissed the Blarney Stone at the castle." I said, but I've been kissing the Blarney Stone since I was 53, since I was born 53 years ago. And my mom, I want to share a couple of quick things. I want to do a little postscript to Susan's conversation with Teresa to show you how you never know what God's doing. She has two sons. One is a believer. He's very young in his faith. And the other, his younger brother, was playing in the front yard when they were small children, and he went out in the street and was hit by a car and suffered minor brain damage and has basically problems with his left side of his body because of that. And yet she's faithful to make sure her boys are involved with Richie and Riot. But she started coming with them to what they were doing, and as a result of hearing what was being shared with them, God worked in her life. So you never know, Awana workers, Sunday school teachers, RAGA workers, when you're having conversation with this child, who's listening and what God's doing in them through what you're sharing with someone else. I have an interesting kind of a it's my turn to, as they say, Daniel has teased me about the fact that the old song is, it's a little nonsensical song from a movie in which John Wayne plays an Irish character. And it's the one of the little songs that he sings in the movie. But I got to see a different side of Daniel. Daniel is, everybody went with their own strengths, I guess what I want to say. Daniel thought, you know, that his strengths were music. And though God did use some of those strengths, mostly God didn't. God used him playing soccer with the guys and laughing and hanging out with them. Kevin and I are people who've been gifted to speak. And we thought, well, we'll be preaching, you know, at least sometime during the week. So we came prepared to do that. And we didn't do that. God used Kevin during Bible time and just spending time with little kids. And he used me just to talk to adults. One of the places we went to was right around is from the ministry area. There's an old castle, an old Anglo-Norman castle that they do tours through. And the guy that does that tour he's been in several. You might have seen him, and he was in the movie Arthur. He was one of the Saxons who was invading England, dressed in that period. He actually was at the front there on that scene on the ice. He's one of the actors there, and he also has done several things with the HBO miniseries Game of Thrones, and he's an expert on medieval weaponry, and he's also an atheist. And so he normally does these tours, and he starts talking about weaponry, and he kept asking questions, and I knew the answers. And about a third of the way through, he turns to Richie. He says, "It's amazing, an American who knows history." And so the final result of that is that he sent Richie a text. He said, "You know, just enjoyed my time." And Richie said, "You know, he never does that, and he wants to talk with you some more." So God has given me an opportunity to enter into his life. And so conversations, God using you in ways you don't think that you're not prepared to. You prepare for one thing, God gives you another thing. I love watching Judy change up her craft time, she and Maddie on the fly, and yet it worked. God used it, and the kids enjoyed the time. And missions is sort of one of those things where you learn not just about God, but you learn about yourself. The more you step out in faith, the more you learn that God is faithful, but you also learn about who you are in Jesus Christ. I want to say to you as a church family, those of you who were praying for us, when William Carey went to India, he turned to his friend Andrew Fuller and said, "You need to hold the rope for me." And by that he meant, "Andrew, you stay in England, and I need you to do two things. I need you to mobilize the people, Baptists, to pray for us, and I need you to help with the giving so I could stay on the field." And that's exactly what Andrew Fuller spent his life doing. He held the rope for William Carey to be in India. And everybody in this room who's a Southern Baptist knows who William Carey is. He's the father of modern missions. but how few of us really know who Andrew Fuller is. And yet there would be no Carrie without an Andrew Fuller. There would have been no Ireland mission trip without the people of First Baptist Church praying for us and giving and holding the rope for us to go. I want to tell you one of the things that you did with us that you did not know. One of the things we went over, we did not know we were going to do this. But we raised the team through giving and faithful giving. We actually raised more money than we needed to go because the exchange rate was better than it was originally. So things were a little less expensive. So we actually had some left over, and we had an idea, well, we'll just leave that there for the next team to go. But God had other ideas, because when we got there, we found out that Richie and Jen and Riot needed a new commercial dishwasher. Now you say, well, what does that have to do with missions? Well, if you're trying to have a team that's helping you do missions, and you're trying to feed up to 24 people without a dishwasher, how many of you have a dishwasher in your home besides your own two hands? Right? Imagine trying to host 22 people, cook meals for them, get the dishes done, and still have time to do ministry in the afternoon. And so the first night, the guys, but yes, just so you know, we did do dishes. These are dishpan hands, okay? Kevin's are the most dishpan, but I vacuumed. And my wife will tell you that the parting of the Red Sea, that is a miracle that I even know what a vacuum cleaner is. And so the first night we were washing dishes, and Richard and we was putting most of the water in the floor. And so we said, you know, I wonder if how much one of those would be to replace. Make a long story short, Rich said it needs about this much, and we looked at the exchange rate and said, you know, we've raised more than that. Let's see what the church finance team, they would be comfortable with letting us use that extra money to take care of that need. And they said, absolutely, you raise the money, and it's for Ireland missions, so go thou and do likewise. And so First Baptist family and the team that you sent over, they're going to be able to replace their commercial dishwasher with that extra money. Another thing that happened, all that same kind of thought, is when one of the young ladies heard us talking from the church, and she told her parents. And her parents said, well, I want to match that. We want to match that gift. So whatever was raised, we want to send as much as well. So we told that to Richie. He says, well, that's amazing because I've got two washers and two dryers, and one is out and it's barely working. We barely get it to work. We need a new one. So that money will be coming in to replace that dryer. And you say, what does that have to do with missions? Well, listen, you tried to keep clothes clean for a week with 22 people and get them dried, et cetera, and so forth. And you see how God does things that seemingly don't really have anything to do with, quote unquote, winning souls for Jesus. And yet the truth is it makes possible the winning of souls to the Lord Jesus by what those little things that don't seem so important are really important in the long run. There were many other things that happened during the week, but I just want to close by this and say, what is missions? Let me give you this is my definition that you won't find it in anybody's book. This is just as I reflected on missions and what it is and what it's about. And I said, simply put, missions is the intentional use of time, talent, and treasure in the power of the Holy Spirit in order to be faithful to the Great Commission and the Great Commandment of the Lord Jesus, and to be His witnesses to His saving work for the glory of God at home and abroad. It's the use of time, talent, and treasure. It's basically the use of all that you are and all that you have, putting at God's disposal to be able to, for Him to use for His glory, to fulfilling the Great Commission and to demonstrate the Great Commandment for His glory to those who are next door to us and those who are overseas. And then I thought, what is required to be a missionary? If you're going to be a missionary, what is required of you? Great eloquence? No. Great intellect? No. Great singing? Well, it helps. But as Daniel knows, I can sing, but monkeys have no tails in San Juanga. It's not the great gifts that we have, but I want you to understand, as I look at the Apostle Paul and I look at the apostles in the book of Acts and those that went out, I think there are some things that are required to be a missionary for Jesus and to be on mission with God. The first thing is faithfulness. Faithfulness to God, faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. An atheist philosopher once said that one does not fly into flying, one starts by walking. And even the world knows that things are built on each other. Then we in the church should know that to be missionaries, we need to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. It starts where we are. It starts at home. It starts in the church. It starts in serving others here. And then it grows. Faithfulness to God and to his plan. Secondly, a willingness. I often tell the staff, and I saw it demonstrated in our staff and on this trip, on our missionaries on this trip, is that there are many things maybe you shouldn't need to do, but there should be nothing you're not willing to do. And being willing to do whatever God wants you to do, and if that means you don't preach, you don't preach. It means you kick a soccer ball, you kick a soccer ball. One of the things One of the things we found out is during the Middle Ages, in monks, in order to increase their spirituality and to mortify their flesh, would lay down in a bed of nettles. You say, what does that have to do with anything? Daniel was being a servant trying to reach a soccer ball. He now knows what those monks experienced laying in those bed of nettles as they stung him real good in the hand. Just being willing to do whatever God wants you to do. And secondly, an openness to his plan and purpose. Judy Bentley's favorite word on the mission trip is flexibility. You got to be flexible. And she demonstrated a flexible heart and a flexible spirit as she did whatever she needed to do. I was teasing her this week. I still tease her by this. She was teaching Zacchaeus, and she had one of the crafts she had doing. She put him the little figurine, the little kids colored, and they put it on a little tongue depressor, a little stick. And she said, "Now you pick up your Zacchaeus on a stick." Now, that may not be funny to you, but that's hilarious to me when you know the story. Zacchaeus was up in a tree, so Zacchaeus was literally on a stick looking for Jesus. And here's Judy teaching about Zacchaeus and holding up this little colored piece of paper saying, "And you're Zacchaeus on a stick," an openness to God and being flexible. I think you need to be a person of spiritual maturity. Now, you don't have to be a perfect saint. There's no such thing. But it takes maturity to handle the bumps in the road, and there are bumps in the road. You have people who are night people. You have people that are morning people. You have people that like incredible amounts of structure, and you have people that are allergic to structure, and you're all together. And you're trying to do this for the glory of God. That takes a little bit of spiritual maturity. And you know what? It takes that in the church too. You know the old saying, to dwell above with saints we love, oh, now that's going to be glory. But to dwell below with those we know, now that's a different story. You have to be a person of spiritual maturity. And one of the ways that you're involved in maturity is being a person of the word and in prayer. Being people who are in the Word of God and spending time with God. And we're going to be, at 3 o'clock this afternoon, we're going to have a group of men that are gathering together. We're learning how to be men of the Word, how to be in that spiritual discipline of Bible intake and growing, as well as learning how to pray the Word of God. And so in the next 4 weeks, I'm going to be preaching a series about that. And so I hope that you'll be a part of that. And finally, it takes obedience. You know, you have to go. Ships are beautiful in the harbor, but that's not what ships were made for. Ships were made to be out on the ocean, to be out on the sea. When the times are beautiful and the sea is calm, and when there's rough waters. But that's what ships are made for. God did not give us a come and hear gospel. He gave us a go and tell gospel. And that's what happened with a young man named Kyle. Kyle had been involved on the periphery. He knows Richie well, and it came to everything. And one of the things I always do before I go on mission, or even as pastor, before I go on visitation, I ask God to keep me mindful of his divine appointments. Who do you have for me to talk to? And on that Monday night, when I met Kyle for the first time, I realized there's my divine appointment. I don't know what all God's going to do, but I knew that that he was the young man that God had for me to spend time with. And then on Thursday night, we had kind of a pizza celebration night, and while everybody else was doing some other things, Kyle sat down in front of me. And I hadn't preached on the previous Sunday, and I hadn't done Wednesday night Bible study, and someone was asking me Bible questions. That's like saying sick 'em to a bulldog. And so I got to share the gospel with him and help him to understand that his story is important, but what's really important is when your story intersects with God's story, the story of God's saving faith through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And I could tell the Holy Spirit was bringing about conviction in his heart. And I told him this on that night. I said, you know, Kyle, God may give you 30 more years, but he doesn't have to give you 3 minutes. If you understand what God wants you to do, you need to do it. I said, I'm here for 3 more days, and if you want to talk to me about committing your life to Christ, I'll make time. Well, nothing happened on Friday or Saturday. I thought, well, that I misread God. Then on Sunday night, our last night, he especially came by. He wasn't supposed to be there, but he especially came by. And after we were through with the share time, he came up to me and said, do you have time to talk to me? And I said, sure. And here was the question he asked me. He said, how did you know when it was time for you to become a Christian? How did you know that? And of course, I have a Bible answer. Today, if you've heard his voice, do not harden your heart. The time to receive Christ is the moment that God says, it's time. And so I shared with him once again the gospel, and I said, is it time for you? Do you want to do that? And he said, I really do. And so the last thing we were able to do there as a team was to see God lead this young man to himself and see him saved. And so we are two people that are in the kingdom of God. They have eternal life because of the conversations, the prayers, and the labors of the mission team from First Baptist and Rekindle. And so continue to pray for Kyle and Teresa and for Richie and for Jen, that God would continue to use them to spread the gospel in Dundrum and Newcastle for the glory of God. Let's stand together. Maybe someone in this room is like Kyle or like Teresa. You know the gospel, but you've never committed your life to Christ. And I know as we're running a little long, but eternity's far longer. And if you need to do business with God about your eternal salvation this morning, we would love to share with you, just like we shared with Kyle and Teresa, how you can come to know the Lord Jesus this morning. You've never done that? We invite you to come. Maybe you're looking for a church home as a guest. Come, join, be a part of this fellowship. Be on mission with God and with us at First Baptist. Maybe you just want to come and kneel at the altar. Whatever you need to do, today, if you've heard his voice, harden not your heart. Father, this is your invitation. Issue it in Jesus' name, for by his grace and for your glory, we ask these things as we sing.